I'll begin this morning by reading one of Shinran Shonin's wasan. Wasan are the poems of the Nembutsu that Shinran Shonin composed to express his joy and gratitude living in the light of the Buddha's wisdom and compassion. Shinran Shonin no gowasan wo itadakimasu. Gassho wo onegaishimasu. The liberating wheel of light is without bound. Each person it touches, it is taught, is freed from attachments to being and non-being. So take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination. Gedatsu no kōrin, kiwa monashi. Happy New Year, everyone. And as Mr. Saiki pointed out, welcome to the Year of the Dog. It's a wonderful, wonderful year. I look forward to the coming year. Dogs have a very special relationship with people, I think. Does anyone have a special dog in their life? Yes? Okay, we got some dog lovers here. And people and dogs have had a very close relationship for centuries, for millennia. In fact, even back in the time before the Buddha, people and dogs had a special relationship. And there's a story of one of the Buddha's previous lives when the Buddha himself was born as a dog. So before the Buddha was born as Prince Siddhartha, he went through many cycles of birth and death. He was born on some occasions as humans, in some occasion he was born into the realm of the animals, and on one particular occasion, he was born as a dog that lived in a cemetery on the outskirts of the city of Varanasi in India. So he was a dog, and he lived among a group of hundreds and hundreds of dogs. Now, these were not purebred dogs. These were not Westminster Kennel Club dogs. They were mutts. They were mixes of different breeds of dog. And so they weren't as highly valued as other dogs. And people kind of looked down on them and didn't try to take care of them. So these dogs had to live by their wits. They had to survive on what food they could find, foraging throughout the city and throughout the forests. Now, in the city of Varanasi, there was also a very wealthy king, and this king also had some dogs, but these dogs were not mutts. These were his purebred hounds, his very special dogs that he loved very much. And this king was a very hardworking king, but he also liked to have fun. He also liked to go out in the forest, to go hunting and to enjoy himself. And one day, he just didn't really feel like doing his work that day. Do you ever feel like that? Ever have a day where you don't feel like going to work? Well, the king had that day. And since he was the king, you know what? He didn't have to go to work. He said, you know what? Let's just go out to the forest. And you know what? I want to go out to the forest in my favorite car. Now, this was over 2,500 years ago, so people didn't drive automobiles. But people had very fancy chariots, especially kings. And this king loved his chariot because the horses were bridled to the chariot with these beautiful hand-engraved leather straps. It had these beautiful, beautiful leather straps. And he loved this chariot, and he particularly loved the feel of these leather reins in his hands when he was riding the chariot out to his favorite forest to go hunting, to enjoy himself. So he was out there, and he had so much fun out in the forest that he didn't come back until it was almost dark. And this was back before the days of electricity. So once it got dark, it became very difficult to do any sort of work. And so the king didn't care. It wasn't his problem. He just came home, he dropped off his chariot at the stables, and he went up into the palace where he could enjoy his nice lamplit area. But the stable keepers, they didn't have very much light. And so they just hurried to finish up and get everything done. And the first thing they had to do was to take care of the horses. They had to bring the horses in, they had to brush the horses, they had to feed the horses, they had to give the horses water. They were so busy that after they finished the horses, they said, "Whew, we got everything done before it got dark." But they forgot to put the chariot away. They forgot to bring the nice leather bound, the nice leather engraved reins. They forgot to bring all that inside the stable. You know what happened that night? It rained. It rained and it rained and it rained. Have you ever had a pair of shoes that you wore outside when it was raining? Yeah, leather shoes. What happens? They change. They get nice and soft. And maybe you get that nice leather smell starts to come out from the shoes, a nice aroma. You know who loves the smell of leather in shoes? Dogs. Dogs love to chew on shoes. Some dogs. And this beautiful leather aroma drifted throughout the palace grounds. And you know who has a really good nose in the palace grounds? The king's purebred hounds had a good nose. And so they smelled this leather and they said, "Where's the leather? Where's the leather?" You know, their tails were wagging, they're running, and they found the chariot, and they found the leather straps, and they started chewing away. And you know, if a dog gets like a chew toy or a piece of rawhide, they chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it until it's all gone, right? So the dogs, they had a wonderful night chewing on these leather straps. Wonderful night chewing on the leather straps. They chewed them to bits, and in the morning, there was not much left of these chariot straps. And the stable keeper came out and, "Oh no, the king is going to be so mad. The king is going to be so mad. I've got to go tell the king." He says, your highness, late at night, after the rains, some of the mongrel dogs from the city, they snuck in through the drain pipes and they chewed up your harnesses. Must have been those mongrel dogs. The king was so angry that he made a decree. When a king makes a decree, he tells everybody what they have to do. And he said, "All the dogs must be driven from the city. I don't want to see one dog in this whole city. All the dogs must be driven from the city." Right? All the dogs except the palace dogs, because these are the good dogs. All the dogs who chew leather. All those leather-chewing street dogs, get rid of them. And so the people of the city, the police officers and the other people, they started going around with big sticks and chasing after dogs. And all the dogs became very afraid. And they ran and they hid and they went to the only place that was safe for dogs. And that was the cemetery where the king of the dogs lived. The king of the dogs, the wise dog, was there. And he started to notice more and more dogs were showing up, and they were more and more, had a worried look on their face. They were very worried, and they were very sad. And he asked them, "What's wrong? What's wrong, guys? What's wrong?" And they said, "The king, the human king, has issued a decree that all dogs must be driven from the city, and people are chasing us around and hitting us with sticks. It's terrible. It's terrible. This is the only safe place for us." Why is the king trying to get rid of all the dogs? Well, the king said that some street dogs snuck in through the drain pipes and ate up his favorite chariot and all of the nice leather decorations on it. The king of the dogs says, I don't think so. I've been by that palace. There's no way to get in. Now, I know that the king has dogs inside the palace. I know that it was those dogs who ate this. And I'm going to prove this to the king. So then this very wise king of the dogs, he sat and he said, by the power of this truth, may I enter peacefully into the city and go all the way to the palace. And sure enough, he was able to walk safely through the city right to the palace gates. When someone opened up the palace gates, shoo, he just snuck in. Have you ever had a dog that escaped from your house before? Got away? They can sneak in too. So he just snuck right in, and he snuck right in to where the king's chambers, the official place where the king would hold his audiences, the royal hall, snuck right in. He ran and he hid under the chair. People saw him sitting under there, panting, right? Because he had to run to get in there. And they said, let's get that dog out of here, right? But the king said, no way. I've got a feeling that this is a special dog. If he was able to get all the way in here without being stopped. So he said, let me have a look at this dog. And then the king of the dogs, he walked out and he did something very remarkable. He began to speak in human language and he addressed the king. He said, was it you who made the order that all the dogs should be driven from the city? He said, yes, it was I. Why did you make this order? He said, because the dirty mongrel street dogs, those leather-chewing dogs, they came in and they chewed up my favorite chariot, the beautiful leather engraved reins, the decorations, they chewed it all up. Are you sure that it was the street dogs? You have proof? I have no proof, but I know it was them. Well, I think, said the king of the dogs, I'm sure that it was your own palace dogs. Oh, no. My purebred dogs, they're all good dogs. They would never do something like that. And so the king of the dogs says, let me prove it to you. Bring me a bowl of milk, the richest milk that you have in your palace. The king said, I have delicious milk. Bring the thing. He says, now go out in the lawn and get some kusa grass, some grass. Cut some grass and grind it up very fine and then mix it into the milk. And so the king ordered it so. The grass was clipped from the yard. It was ground up. It was mixed into the milk. You know what happens when dogs eat grass? Well, they found out. He said, now bring in the hounds. And the hounds came in. They saw in their dish full of milk. They ran up, tails wagging, drank up all the milk. They sat there and they laid down. And then all of a sudden, out came the contents of their stomach, including lots and lots of leather straps, right? The king said, oh my goodness, oh wow. I have done a great injustice. I have committed a grave error. What can I do to repay you? What can I do? I will let you come and live here in the palace for being my good teacher. And the king of the dogs says, no, I don't want to come live here in your palace. I ask only that you treat all living beings, people and animals, fairly and justly. And the king said, I will do so. And then he made sure that the animals, whenever he ate, he made sure that the dogs also got to eat delicious and satisfying food. And so in Buddhism, we say this is the origin of the close relationship between people and dogs. So in this story, we find that even a dog, when it has the wisdom of the Bodhisattva, the one who would become the Buddha, is able to shine the true wisdom into our hearts and minds. I've also found that dogs can be a wonderful source of compassion. In my own life, the dog that I've been closest to is a dog that my parents had for about 10 years. Her name was Mana, and my parents got her at a shelter, a place for abandoned dogs. She was a Tibetan Spaniel. We think she was probably a bit of a mix, but she was a small dog, about this long, about maybe 2 feet long, about 7 inches tall, very furry, and not the most friendly dog. If you went to pick her up, she would growl at you. She'd go, "Rrr." And then if you really pick her, "Rrr," she'd growl really loudly. But my grandfather loved this dog. And right around the time we got this dog, my grandfather was diagnosed with a disease called Alzheimer's disease. It's a disease where people begin by forgetting things, and then as time goes on, they lose the ability to speak and to communicate. And so my grandfather, whenever we would bring this dog, they lived in Iowa, whenever we would go to Iowa, we'd always bring Mana with. And my grandfather would always be so happy. I remember when he was still living at home, we would go for a visit, and the dog would spend almost the whole visit in Grandpa's lap. Right? He would love that dog. He'd say, "Where's that dog?" Right? And then later, when he was living in a nursing home, an assisted living facility, we would always bring the dog to visit him. And even at the point where he could no longer speak, we would go to visit him. Sometimes he would recognize us. A lot of times he wouldn't, but he was always delighted to see the dog. The dog always brought him joy. And for us, it brought us great peace of mind, because when somebody is very sick like that, sometimes you wonder, what can I do? What can I do? He doesn't even know who I am. But by bringing the dog, we were able to continue this relationship of loving kindness, of sharing our concern and care for each other. We knew we could bring him joy. And so Mana brought the whole family joy and peace of mind, even though she was just a dog, right? So in this year of the dog, let us reflect on all of the unexpected places where we find wisdom and compassion. These words of Shinran Shonin that I read tell us that the liberating wheel of light, the light of Amida Buddha's wisdom, is shining without bound, and it touches each person. And each person being touched by this light is free from attachments to being, non-being, which is to say free from attachments from this or that, yes or no, I like you or I don't, right? It's free from all of these discriminating ways of thinking that we usually carry with us. And so we take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination. So we welcome the year of the dog, and let us live this year of the dog recognizing this light shining in our lives and helping us to see in the most unexpected places the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha working to sustain and support us. 今年は犬年ですね。 まあ犬というのは人間の深い関係があるんですね。人間は動物であり、ながら私たちのいろんなことを示してくれる。犬を飼った人、犬と出会いがある人は自分の心の本当の要素が見えてくるんですね。そして犬が人が犬を見るだけで喜ぶ人もいますね。それによって言葉が伝えなかったら、 この動物と一緒に接することは安心する人もいますね。それによって慈悲の働きが味わえるということですね。意外なところにね、ペットとの関係、動物との関係でさえ慈悲の働き、知恵の働きが見えてくるんですね。親鸞聖人の言葉によって、下脱の降臨、その 苦しみから解放される光は常にいつも誰にでも照らされていることですね。で、その光に照らされていることに気づいたら、自分の本当の様子が見えて、そして正しく歩むべき道も明るく見えてくるんですね。
それは極楽へ往生する道がはっきり見えるということですね。その光に導くことを喜ぶというのは南無阿弥陀仏の念仏ですね。これから1年間ね、自分の本当の様子を気づきながら念仏を喜んで歩む道を一緒に共に歩んでいきたいと、2018年を共に歩ませていただきたいということでございます。
So thank you very much for joining us this morning as we welcome the new year, and let us together live joyfully in the Nembutsu guided by the Buddha's light of wisdom and compassion. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.